This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Mets haters are out again. They love when they see bad Mets news. Now that Juan Soto has moved from the Yankees to the Mets, the Yankee fan is just laughing at the Mets. Oh, looks like you got another injury in your rotation. Ooh, I guess David Stearns maybe has to go out there and actually pay a pitcher now, because Sean Manaea, probably, most likely, starting the season on the IL with an oblique strain. You add that to the Frankie Montas news, and it's a little bit of a rough start news-wise for a Mets rotation. But, hey, thank God the baseball season is 2 years long, and you don't have to worry about these things that you're worried about in February. Generally, you don't have to worry about them when it's an oblique strain, when there's no structural damage in there. All right, maybe he's back in middle April, May, worst-case scenario. It's a long season. The Mets are going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. So haters, back up. Worry about your own Giancarlo Stanton mess, because I don't even know what the hell's going on with him. Comes back to New York. He's got two elbows, and they say it's a personal thing. Who knows? We got that. Plenty more. I know you're jacked up for your Islanders-Rangers matchup tonight as well. We were talking about that before the show. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, the microphone. Hello.
Good morning, Jay. The regular season doesn't start until March 27th.
That's right.
I mean, we're a month away from it.
That's
so
right.
I'm sure there are going to be more injuries, and there are going to be more struggles. There will be a little bit more adversity. David Stearns will figure it out. The Mets will figure it out. And away we go. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is going to it happens every year. They carry like 30 pitchers into spring training for a reason. This is why. You know, the other thing, too, is I wonder what these guys do in the offseason. I mean, that really makes me wonder what they do in the offseason, how they work out. And I'm sure there are a number of guys that either go play winter ball,
yeah,
or, you know, really do work out quite a bit, and they work on their hitting, they work on their, maybe they work on some of their fielding. And for pitchers, I would think, you know, maybe you shut it down for about a month, and then you go through a throwing program so you can ramp up for spring training. And, you know, this is not an injury in terms of the elbow. This is an oblique injury. So that could happen to any one of these players. And normally I would say, depending on how severe it is, if it's a minor oblique injury, then you're probably looking at about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they said there's no rib cage situation in there. Carlos Mendoza basically said that it's all muscular. So even though he's not going to start the season on the active roster, he'll be on the IL. It's just they want to take time with him and ramp him up. I think it's just because it's starting so early in spring training, he's not going to be able to throw. And then he's got to get himself back in shape and ready to pitch. But, you know, we will most likely, I mean, I'll knock on wood here, but most likely
come, I don't know, Memorial Day weekend, we're not going to be thinking about this at all. And certainly not going to be thinking about it in October. He should be healthy. He should come back. He should have a really good year. I'm glad that they brought him back. I guess you'd be a little bit concerned. He threw the most innings in his career last year. Now he's coming back here, but he's going to be all right. But I mean, the reason why I think that the Yankee fan who's back with that like pure Mets hatred right now after the Soto thing, I think the reason why they like this is because David Stearns doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the rotation, and the Yankees do have a better rotation on paper than the Mets do. So when you see now two injuries like this, you know, they could poke at the weak spot. Like, oh, you little boy genius, man, he's trying this again, huh? Not really working. You know, the Yankee fans are doing the boomer, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Here you go. Both us is hurt. But I is hurt.
Well, maybe they were right in some respect, but we're right also because Giancarlo Stanton's hurt again.
Yeah, weird.
I mean, like, and I don't want to make fun of anybody, especially somebody that's been dealing with something like tennis elbow in both elbows, which is strange, especially the way he is built. And, you know, whatever his personal issues are there, he's got to take care of them. And they're going to allow him to do that, which is the correct thing to do, depending on how significant it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and that it, you know, requires his attention for a couple of days and hopefully he'll get back. But I, you know, again, it's a month until the season starts, and to get wrapped up into any of this stuff, in like if you told me Juan Soto, you know, broke an ankle or something and was going to miss, you know, 3 months of the season, then I'd say, yeah, I'm worried. But that's not the case. And you know what I would say? The same thing with Giancarlo Stanton. I would think that, you know, he will, I don't know, maybe he'll miss the first, I guess, couple weeks of the season, I think. But you know, they're expecting him to fight through this just like he had to fight through it last year.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, though, the news with that yesterday, because at first it was he's going to go back and see Dr. Ahmad, who is a Yankees doctor and surgeon, who is, you know, well-renowned and respected, of course. And then Aaron Boone came out and said that he's going back to New York because of personal reasons.
Well, maybe he could be doing both.
Yeah, it could be a little double dip.
I would think if you want to go see the doctor, this is the doctor go see, get some imaging on it and get a little bit clearer answer as to what maybe he's dealing with. If it's something more than just tennis elbow. And then number two, he could also take care of his personal business, whatever that may be.
Yeah, now this is something I know you love these numbers and stuff.
Yeah, bring me the numbers. I want to hear the numbers.
I know you love these numbers.
Yes.
You know, so you get a lot of, on both sides, Met and Yankee fans are like, Yankee fans say, go out and get a third baseman. Who cares about the money? You know, you got to fill that hole. Now maybe the Mets fan's going to say, pull the trigger on a trade for a starting pitcher. You got two injuries there. You got to add to the staff.
Don't the Mets fans want Dylan Cease?
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy from
San Diego
yes. That you'd have to trade for, yes. So this people say no salary cap in baseball, which is technically true. But this competitive balance tax is essentially
the Cohen tax.
Yeah. So I just want to
really
make sure.
It should be the Dodgers tax.
Yeah, it really should be at this point. But the Mets payroll right now.
Okay.
$315 million, right?
God okay. Bless our owner.
So the competitive balance tax this year, $241
million. Yeah, so look at how much money they're spending.
Right, so the penalties now, though, you go $60 million or more over. And is this $60 million or more? It's $241 million. Yeah. $315 million, yeah, yeah, 60 yeah, million or more.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a 60% surcharge.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see another level of that on this. This is from MLB.com. All right? I don't see another level past that. So that says to me, unless I'm missing something, and this is the official Major League Baseball website, that if they add to the payroll, it's really not, you're not going to get another level of charge.
No, but you're still going to get charged.
You're still getting charged.
Yeah, the overall number, yeah, that you're over.
But it
so
goes
you're
from.
You're still increasing that.
You're increasing that, but here's the thing. You're not.
I think like teams like the Pirates and Tampa Bay Rays are very happy about that.
Yes.
Keep spending.
But what the point is that 20 to 40 million over, 12% surcharge, 40 to 60 million. 42.5%, 60 million or more, 60%. So it's not going up another level. You're just getting charged at 60% on a higher number if you bring in somebody else, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right. So, but yeah, but right. here, let me just see if I can look at this on Spot Track.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Dodgers right now, their tax payroll, their current tax payroll right now, what the Dodgers are going to have to spend is $392,535,656. Almost $400 million.
Hey, Boomer, did you know that they've got a consortium worth $40 billion?
Yeah, I know. The New York Mets are second on this list with 25 players. The Dodgers have 27 players. The Mets have 25 players. Their tax payroll is $321,456,449. And then the next one would be the Phillies at $298.
And where are the Yankees?
The Yankees are fourth. They have it a tax payroll current right now, $293,886,666.
All right, so the math here, let me just see. They haven't gone over $60 million then, right? Because it's 241. Yeah, they haven't gone over that.
Right, and right now the cap space for the Dodgers is minus $151 million. For the New York Mets, minus $80 million. For the Phillies, minus $57 million, meaning this is what it would take to get to like $60 million, right?
Yeah, so the Yankees
are minus $52 million.
So the Yankees don't want to get to that next threshold, and that's why they were talking about trading Marcus Stroman being a thing they had to do.
He's making $18.5 million.
Yeah, prior to bringing in a third baseman. But for the Mets, they're already past the highest surcharge. It's just a matter of how much more they would add.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they could. Both teams could add if they wanted to. I mean, it's not like there's anything stopping them other than money.
Hoff, have you ever been to Steinbrenner Field? The facility
not yet,
out
no.
there? Okay. I have been I think the Mets' tradition. Is that what they call it now? Or whatever they call it now. I went to the Mets one years ago. I haven't been to the Mets in a while, but I've been to the Yankees fairly recently. Not even during spring training. I was down in Disney on a big family trip, and we were somewhere, I don't know, maybe 20-30 miles on the beach outside of Tampa. So I took my son my nephew to a game, and Dominguez was actually playing, you know, and it was just a middle of the summer night, and nobody was really there, but I had a chance to walk around Steinbrenner facility. It was great, like all the the monuments, or I should say the plaques when you pull up, but they have added so much to it to make it obviously up to Major League Baseball specs here with the Rays playing the home games. I saw something too on YouTube if you guys want to check it out. Like it looks totally different, and it's going to be wild watching the Yankees play the Rays, and the Yankees are visitors. I'll tell you what though, that's going to play nicely even more so for Bellinger, you would think, and potentially Dominguez. And potentially for Wells, because George Steinbrenner Field down in Tampa is 314 down the right field line. It's the exact, spec of Yankee Stadium. So, there's some of these Yankees do some damage. That's going to be a very appealing and an extra enticing, target because the Yanks will play there against the Rays as well rather than the Trop. All right, let me get to Dominguez here. We'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Knicks, Johnnies, who are just absolutely crushing it. God, Patino has been a savior for this program. It's ridiculous. And even Sean Manaea's injury. And I want to play something for Manaea coming up in a bit. So, all right, Dominguez, the lost one in the sun. All right. I think there's two ways to look at this. You could overreact and say, see, he can't play the outfield. He's a disaster. He's a mess. He's this. He's that. He can't play left field. There's no way. Did you see him muff those two plays a year ago? Yeah, I saw him. I did. I'm not saying he didn't muff them. He did. They were pretty ugly, and I saw the pop-up over the weekend, which he clearly lost in the sun. Now, guys, just to be fair to Dominguez for a moment, losing a ball in the sun, I know, have eye black, have the Oakleys, shield your eyes with the glove. I get it. I know. But it's not that easy all the time, and that is a glaring sun, and it's also ricocheting off the structure of the stadium. So, that's tricky. You want to make that out to be an inability to play left field, just a defensive deficiency. You can do that. I'm not doing that yet with Jason Dominguez. I'm not. However, to be fair to the possible conversation, I'm going to push it further and say, well, Let's give him a pass on the sun getting in his eyes. But what happens if Dominguez really is a problem in left field? I mean, he's just taking the, and I don't mean pop-ups, taking the wrong routes, you know, just not looking the part in left field. Well, what do you do? Well, a couple of things. I think it depends how he hits. If Dominguez hits a ton and he's okay in left field, not great, okay, there's a couple of head scratchers, but he's hitting, you got to suck it up and you have to hope that he gets better as the year goes on. If he's hitting and he's awful in left field, like where it's just unavoidably problematic, well, now you're going to have to search for some options. And, you know, now if he's not hitting and he's awful in left field, well, then he's going to have to go down to the minors at some point. But I think what you do is, you just, you know, take this, you know, week by week, month by month. I said to Sal the other day, I got to see at least 200-something uninterrupted at-bats for Dominguez. You know, I've got to get, you know, all the April, all the May. I would like to get to the end of June before I make a definitive move on him. Like, if he's really not hitting well, I'm still running him out. Now, I'm going to bounce him around the lineup. If he's not hitting, I do think he'll start as a leadoff hitter. But if he's not hitting there, you drop him, you know, 6, 7, depending upon how bad it gets. I've got to get answers on Dominguez. I can't sit here again and hear about the Dominguez hype and not let him play. Like, if he's hurt, that's one thing. And if he's completely overwhelmed and it's just so obvious that it could be detrimental to his growth, well, I still have to give him a long runway here, but maybe not into June. But I do think as long as he's hitting and he's having a rough time in the outfield, I think what you could do is you can put, on certain days, you could put maybe against a righty, maybe a tough righty, put Bellinger at first, at that point you want to get Dominguez in center. I don't love Grisham. Do you really want to see Grisham in left field? I would say put Grisham in center, but the whole object is if he's struggling to get Dominguez out of left here. So you could give Goldie a day off. You can leave it against the lefty, whatever. With Dominguez being a switch hitter and Bellinger going to play every day anyway, you could have Goldschmidt DH. You could put Bellinger at first. Like, there's ways to navigate this if it really is a big, 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 big problem. I don't think it's going to be the problem some of you are making it out to be. I know, you know, you're probably not locked into the Yankees spring training. Certainly when you look at the lineup. Here's what I do. I look at the lineup. And I'll do this for the next 2 weeks for sure. All right. I want to see where Dominguez is hitting. I want to see where Volpe is hitting. I want to see where, once Judge starts playing, where's Judge hitting in relation to Bellinger? Like, where's Wells? Like, there's a couple of things I want to see. But, you know, now you still get lineups where there's 3-4 guys who aren't going to be on the opening day lineup, so, or the roster. So I don't get too wrapped up in it. But I know many of you, too, are not necessarily glued to yes now. So how do you catch the Dominguez, you know, mess up in the sun the other day? You see it on social media. And once you see, oh, my God, look at that, and then it gains more traction. Oh, Dominguez still on skates out there. He stinks in left field. Going to be a problem. And then it just gains momentum. And then suddenly you've got the narrative, even though it's basically two games, whatever it is, into the spring, and Dominguez is a butcher in left field, and he's never going to get the job done. That's ridiculous. Now, you might be right. I'm just not taking that mindset now. He's just too fluid, too explosive, and too good in center to not at least be passable in left field. So that's the way I see it. Hoff, you seem to be a little more concerned about Dominguez in left field, pointing out, did you see this video? Did you see that? No, I didn't see that video because I don't care to see all the videos. But you seem to think that Dominguez is going to be a mess out there.
Yeah, he looks more like Aaron Hicks than Juan Soto, I'll tell you that much.
Remember when, even when you don't want, you're still pulling Soto into it. Remember when Hicks threw his arms up, when he stopped running after that ball? That was a couple of years ago. Remember that play in the outfield?
Yeah.
God almighty.
It basically looked, and then he put his face in like the sidewall. He looked like the end of Blair Witch Project.
You know, by the way, that was an overrated movie. Did you like that movie?
Yes.
That was awful.
No, it wasn't awful.
Awful. Awful.
Oh, come on.
No, go ahead. You can volley back.
It was a fantastic movie for the times. It got people. It was when the internet was at like the beginning stages, so people thought this was real.
Yeah.
They went to the movies. I was like a 17-year-old kid, so I was like getting amped, like, yeah, this is real. This is crazy. I can't believe what just happened. And it was the first, like, you know, handheld camera type of film.
Uh-huh.
And it put you on a journey. Now, I understand it was a little slow.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But if you bought into it, if you're one of, like, you're like my wife. My wife what? Can't buy into any movie I watch. But if you could just buy into that logic and just buy into the two-hour film, you'll appreciate it.
All right, so if I go back and I watch it and I adopt that mindset, and I say, well, it was the first with the camera and I should give it more room and I should be more appreciative and it was a pioneer, are you going to tell me I'm going to walk away saying, wow, what a movie?
Well, the ending was great.
I just didn't like it. And you got to remember, at that point, I was still a big horror buff. Loved, even, you know, not anymore. I don't like him anymore.
Because they're all very gory.
Well, they scare me now. I told you, they scare me now. I don't like them now.
By the way, I'm going to change it real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a Broadway show with my wife last week.
What'd you say?
Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
I can't stop talking about it because it actually was awesome, and it was really gory.
Gory?
Yeah.
On stage?
Yeah. It was kind of sick. Like, I'm like, I want to go see it again.
You would, you demented, twisted soul.
I am. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know, but that was good.
What is the premise again?
It's about it's basically about an old silent film movie star who's trying to break into Hollywood now, but nobody wants her, and she's got some issues. And she finds somebody that's going to write the perfect script to get her back into Hollywood.
And this is right around the 1920s, 30s-ish?
Yeah,
set around exactly. There. Okay, yeah. Got with the transition to the... all right. You know, I was driving... I was driving back from the Garden yesterday from St. John's. I saw a billboard not too far from the Lincoln Tunnel. Do you remember the movie The Outsiders?
Of course.
Yeah, you remember. That came up with us. Like
great movie.
Sal never saw it. Phenomenal.
Well, he's a loser. But... And by the way, Sal's not here. We can make fun of him.
We can. How do you think he's doing, by the way?
Oh, he's miserable right now.
No!
It's 12:37 on Disney time. That means he's been up for at least 6 or 7 hours at the park, running around, probably trying to find Winnie the Pooh. Can't find Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Probably having a
rough
day.
Miserable. I'll tell you what. The difference is he's got one child. You have three. I have two. It's not piping, steaming hot. It's, if anything, it's got a little nip in the, like, 60s, you know, in the 50s at night. So it's maybe a little chilly for the kids and his wife, or for his child and his wife. I think he's taking this like a trooper. I honestly do. I think he's doing well.
Okay, so the moment he's got to sit on a line for more than 20 minutes.
Well, did he get the speed pass?
Well, but you can't get one for every ride, can you?
No, and you've got to be very strategic. And unless you know how to do it, like my wife became pretty good at this, and I know your wife does as well. We would get the speed pass, and we would look at, you know, whatever, Ride X, right? Oh, okay, so this ride, we really want to do this. Oh, this ride's down to 20 minutes. Let's jump there. And then, like, you've got to piece it together. Anyway, I think Sal's doing well. But just to complete my thought, the Outsiders is on Broadway.
Yes.
You see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I know you haven't seen
it, but
have you seen the advert?
I did.
I think I might go see that.
There's certain things I'd like to go see. I think that's one of them.
Yeah.
That and Back to the Future.
Ah, nah, it never did it for me. I know. It just never did it for me at all.
You're like the king of 80s and you don't like Back to the Future?
It's a massive contradiction.
What is wrong with you?
I never liked it.
Did you like? Oh, you were a Pretty in Pink type of guy. That's right.
No, Pretty in Pink. I love who's the...
Breakfast Club?
Yo, I love Breakfast, but who's the guy
Ferris that... Bueller?
No, stop. It's not the director. Not movies. Stop throwing movies
Steven
at me.
Steven Spielberg.
What?
Steven Spielberg?
No, the guy who did... You're a clown. The guy who did the 80s movies, all those, like, romantic comedies and that genre. He did whatever his name.
Leguizamo.
No, I liked some of those. I didn't love 16 Candles or Sweet 16. No, I didn't love that. Oh, but Breakfast Club, oh, my God. I mean, I could watch that on loop. Stupid, worthless, no good, godly, freeloader,
John Hughes.
John Hughes, thank you. There you go. You see, this is what you get when you spill paint in the garage. Do I stutter? Anyway. All right. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Yeah, see, he didn't really answer the question. Do you think Dominguez is going to be a butcher out there? Yes or no?
Yes, he's going to be terrible.
No, he's not going to be terrible. Stop with the Met hate. Come on. We're the Yankee hate.
He looks like Aaron Hicks. That's my quote. I'm sticking to it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
Open up those windows. Pretty nice out today. 55 and sunny, 60 on Saturday. I got baseball on my mind. I don't know about you. So, I got a message for the Yankee fan right now. The Yankee fan needs to get comfortable being uncomfortable for a while. Yankees got a lot of issues going into the season. Right now, the Yankees are a flawed team. And they know it. They know it. But now is not the time to address it. I'm not doing anything now if I'm the Yankees. You know why? I don't know what the biggest problem's going to be. You know, it's like the old whack-a-mole on the boardwalk. Boom, that's done. Boom, another guy pops up. Boom, this guy's done. Boom, another guy pops up. Now, this very well might work out very favorably for the Yankees, and I do think the Yankees will be very good this year. But I think if you look at this team, and you look at these situations, which are building by the day, by the way, Stanton, amongst other stuff, there's a lot of things that you can't trust right now. We can sit here until we're blue in the face. Oh, yeah, Jason Dominguez, stud, switch hitter, pop, good speed. Hey, he's going to figure it out in left field. He might. Might not. Third base, doesn't really matter as much. Yanks got Judge. Yankees got Belly. Yankees got Jazz. Oh, Wells going to take a big step forward. That very well might happen. Or somebody goes down and third base, the importance of third base is amplified, and the Yankees have the worst third base situation in baseball. Possible. Up, Stanton. Listen, he'll be ready for October. That's when you need him. Yeah, it's nice to have him in October cranking moonshots, but the Yankees right now do not have a lot of righty power. And right now the Yankees don't really have a designated hitter. And that's not good. And as a matter of fact, this ties into Dominguez. And maybe Volpe as well. Who's the leadoff hitter? I know that it's probably going to be Dominguez. If not Dominguez, Volpe. Is that a home run? The answer is no. All right? I think they're very, very, quite possibly too lefty oriented. A lot of lefty sticks. And as much as I think Goldschmidt, you look at those second half numbers, those metrics fairly fairly optimistic that he's going to be okay this year. They don't really know what you're getting at first base. You just don't. So if you look at the Yankees, at least the lineup, there's more concerns than answers. And even with that being said, I'm not doing a damn thing. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything today. I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I'm not doing anything next week. You know why? I don't know what the biggest problem is going to be for the Yankees. I don't. I just gave you five or six possibilities. Could be left, could be third, could be DH, could be leadoff hitter, could be cleanup man, could be first base. I don't think it'll be first. But it could be. I mean, if that's it, if Goldschmidt's cooked, then he got a problem at first base again. So Hal Steinbrenner, and you need to understand this, Yankee fans. You need to. Because he's telling you what's in his heart. And, you know, you can say, and I like Hal. I don't think he's perfect. But one thing about Hal, he doesn't lie to you as a Yankee fan. I think he's pretty transparent. I think he's been very forthright in what he, and he doesn't speak too often, but when he does, I think his messaging is clear. And I think as you watch it play out, I think it's been accurate. It reflects what he says he's going to do. And I'm of the mindset, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And Hal told you last week, I'm not looking to do anything. I don't want to do anything. Now, that I don't believe. But I don't believe there's going to be an abundance of moves that he will make. I believe Hal Steinbrenner this season, at some point, will make one big move if necessary. So let me ask you this. Why in the world would you fire it now when you don't know what the biggest issue is going to be? Why would you do it? Yeah, I understand, guys. Listen, I get it. I'd love to roll into the season, you know, with Jeter batting first and, you know, Tino at first base banging 40 bombs and all the constants that the Yankees dynasty, the dynasties had in the past. Of course, we don't want that. It's not the reality right now. Yankees have a lot of assets. I think, unfortunately, from an offensive perspective, they're on the mound. So I ask you this, right? And I know how it is. The tickets are expensive and the aura of the Yankees. You see Soto over there in Queens. Maybe a little jealous of that. Maybe a little pissed off, whatever. Just deal with it. And understand that this Yankee team is going to win 90-something games with their eyes shut. However, this Yankees team is not a World Series team. They're just not. Like, in terms of winning the World Series. And I don't even know if there's one power move that they can make that ultimately gets in there. I honestly don't know. But let's just say, just to, you know, further this and probe a little more deeply, as I tell you, there's one move to make that I think Hal will make, big move at some point. If I make it today, and let's say the Yankees get Arenado, just say they were to do something like that. And let's say, you know, you address third base, but he doesn't hit much. And then as the season progresses, well, you got an issue in left field. You got an issue at first base. You got an issue DH. The other issues that I outlined, I don't want to be overly repetitive. I think you know what they are coming in. And I'm not going to waste that one move on something that might be a marginal, nominal upgrade when I don't know what the biggest problem is going to be. So I get it. You know, the big bad Yankees, the aura, the pinstripes, all the championships in the World Series a year ago. You want it to be go time. It's not go time yet. It's not. Right now is the time to preach prudence and not, you know, chase an abundance of riches that might be fool's gold down the road. I'm not doing anything. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. I get it. Yeah. We've been leaning on all these prospects, waiting for this to happen, waiting for this to pop, waiting for this to come to fruition. Understood. Now, maybe I'm just a little more patient than some of you. Maybe from a Yankee perspective, I don't mean from my job because it's half my job, I don't care what the Mets are doing. Maybe, yeah, I acknowledge the Red Sox are going to be better. I'm not overly consumed with the Red Sox now, just like I'm not overly consumed with the Astros right now. There is 6 months of baseball. Let me ask you this. Even if Dominguez is on skates in the outfield and third baseman combined is hitting 170 in April and the DH spot is, you know, constantly fluctuating, no real answer. I think Stanton's out for a long time. Let's say worst case scenario. Worst case. Well, worst case would be Judge going down. So aside from that, God forbid, the other stuff that we hit. Do you actually think that the Yankees are going to limp into May
11-19 with this pitching staff. Now, I will be honest. If I didn't like the staff this much, I'd be singing a different tune. I'd be saying, whoa, 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 whoa. This is unacceptable. There's no way you can follow up a World Series appearance like this. Patience. And many of you don't have it. And that's fine. I get it. I'm patient, but I'm also smart enough to know when Hal tells us what he told us, he ain't lying. It's not changing. So to me, that's where I'm at. Yeah, you wake up. It's funny, certain days where it just feels like baseball. Today's one of those days. Hoff, how glorious was it when you get in the car today or you walk to the train? It is gorgeous. You can hear some birds chirping. You know, all the remnants of the snow, that little last lingering amount of ice, gone. It's baseball season, baby. And I think I'm ahead of the curve here. Because I'm not going to get rattled. I'm not going to go nuts. I'm not going to overplay my hand. I don't really know. I could tell you. I could give you projections. I don't really know what this Yankees offense is going to be. I don't know exactly where Bellinger's going to. I have ideas, but I don't know where Bellinger's going to hit. And I don't know how he's going to play. I don't know exactly what Wells is going to be. I don't know exactly, you know, what's behind Aaron Judge. Listen, when you look at the Yankees offensively, it is accurate to say that there's more questions than answers. There just are. Now, that doesn't mean that that's, you know, that the fate is doomed. You know, questions aren't necessarily bad. It's just an unknown that you've got to navigate. And Hoff, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, getting back to the World Series. I got to scratch that itch, and I do want to win it. Don't get me wrong. I am in a good place. I'm in a peaceful place. I am fully aware of what the Yankees are thinking and doing. And right now, I'm chilling. I'm not doing a thing from a Yankee perspective.
My concern is that you said that they have one big move you believe that Hal will do. I still don't believe that. I don't trust that. In the past few years, he hasn't really in season gone above him. Jazz was a big move, but financially it really wasn't.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. And I know why you might say, I know why others might say that as well. It just doesn't feel like the way it used to. Because it's not. And everybody's got to get over this. Chasing the payrolls and, you know, that gap. There were years. The Yankees spent $50, $60 million more than everybody else. You don't need to do that to be good. And I think we all agree, as a baseline, the Yankees will be good. I don't know if they'll be great. I don't know if they'll be very good. They'll be good. So are you telling me, and maybe your answer is still yes, but I want to lay this out for you and get your answer. Are you telling me that the Yankees, let's go to July 13th, just throwing out some arbitrary date. July 13th, Yankees are 6 games over .500. Offense languishing a little bit. Judge is doing his thing. Bellinger's been good. Wells been good like I think he will be, but there's still a lot of uncertainty. But the staff is carrying the weight and keeping this team afloat, up a game or two, up a game, you know, 3 games in the East. Are you telling me that if the Yankees have a chance to make a massive offensive upgrade by bringing in some real money, that Hal's not going to do it?
If he hasn't done it now, why wouldn't he do? Why is he going to do it?
But he has done it. Think about the payroll now.
Yeah, but no. Like for example, Nolan Arenado is available. I mean, there's a possibility the Astros are going to make a move for him.
Yep.
And the whole thing is that he doesn't want to go above a certain tax level.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. And again, you could be right. See, but I would submit that he does want to go above a certain tax threshold for a player that he thinks would have a nominal impact. Now, I think that Arenado would help this team for sure, catching the baseball. We've talked about this a million times, right? I don't know if he's going to have a 706 OPS or an 812. And the evaluation of the, you see, we assume because the Yankees aren't doing anything further to address these, you know, 4 or 5 questions, that is because they're cheap or they're just not willing to go nuts with them. Obviously not cheap when you have a top 3 payroll, but you know what I mean.
There's no way that we could say they're cheap.
No,
not even close.
That's unfair. But what I do think is also unfair to the Yankees is that when they don't make some of these perceived moves that can help them, is it because they don't want to stretch the payroll more or because they don't love the player?
Yeah, but I can understand that maybe they don't love the player, but then they're going to love him in in July?
No, I'm saying it could be somebody else. Think about this. You know, we're focused on an Arenado or an Arias, you know, maybe put him at third, whatever. Put him at second, move Jazz back to third. You know, hit you soft 310, which is fine. I mean, you lead off hitter hitting 310, I'll take it. But maybe the power move is, maybe, you know, Dominguez scuffles. Hey, guess what? Or Goldschmidt scuffles. Hey, we put Dominguez in center, Goldschmidt to the bench, DH a little bit, Belly at first base, boom, Tatis. I mean, maybe it's something we're not even thinking of. That's all I'm saying. You don't think that if Hal is staring down the barrel of another World Series appearance back-to-back with a chance to crack through and win with Aaron Judge, what, 2, 3, 4 years left of absolute prime, and I think four is a bit of a stretch, and Gerrit Cole as well, you don't think that he would do it? I do. And by the way, before you answer, if he doesn't, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Do you think he would do it then?
I don't know. I really don't. And PT, here's the thing, right? Here's the other issue. Like, he may go and make one move, but is that even enough? Because like you laid out, there's so many different flaws with this Yankee team already that we're sitting here and going, if he does make that one move, is that going to clear up?
Don't know.
First base.
I don't know.
Leadoff hitter. Or is he just going to go and fill a third baseman?
I don't know. Now, but think about this, Hoff. Also, when you talk about the flaws here, they are, until proven, now third base is definitely a massive issue, but until proven otherwise, they are perceived flaws. We're not 76 games into the season, and the third baseman are batting 191, and Volpe's hitting 209, and, you know, Austin Wells is sitting on four home runs with an OPS of 697, and Stanton hasn't played an inning of a game, and Goldschmidt's OPS is 692. Like, these are, now, that could happen. It could. To me, these are perceived flaws. And that's why I'm chilling, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to evaluate, and then I'm going to pounce. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Let me get Eric in Riverville.
1 month. 1 month. That's it. 1 month.
Good. I hate spring training.
Then our asses are in seats. The chicken buckets are coming out. The tall boys are coming out.
All we get in spring training is bad news.
Yeah.
Except for when someone hits a home run. Volpe went yard, right. Smash one. But other than that, feels like bad news.
Well, Clay Holmes had good news for Medford.
No, so. I mean, I'm not worried about that.
Basically, I can't wait a month from now to do everything that Evan Roberts doesn't realize people like doing at baseball games. You know, the eating, the drinking, you know, I can't wait for it. Anyway, we're a month.
The pre-gaming.
Oh, it's the best. But I'm scared. Dickie, I'm scared.
Why?
We had this argument, I think it was this week, earlier in the week, about Jason Dominguez and being a natural center fielder and moving over to left field.
Right. He's moving to left because Cody Bellinger is playing center.
Playing center. And the idea of even on off days, they would keep him in left because they want to keep him in one position and they don't want to put Trent Grisham in left. And Evan was basically vehemently in agreement with Aaron Boone, which is, hey, just give him that one position out in left and let him figure it out. And I'm almost mad at myself that I didn't like Evan convinced me and I went away from it a little bit. And now I'm sitting here today, and for anybody that didn't see it, it's all over social media in Clearwater. The Phillies were broadcasting the home game rights, but now it's made the rounds. It's a 2-2 game in the bottom of the third. Carlos Rodon, basically, it's the last pitch he's going to throw in the game today. So for anybody who wants to wonder, you get two runs in three innings. And a ball goes out to left field, and Jason Dominguez, in a ball that should be caught by anybody up against the wall, runs, tracks it down. His hat flies off, which makes it look more acrobatic, but the ball just clanks off his glove and hits the ground. And this is now, again, we're talking about a month until opening day, February 27th, the third misplay in left field for Jason Dominguez. And it scares me to death, Tiki, for a couple reasons. Here's the first one.
Go ahead.
He's too damn young and too damn valuable a bat that this team's counting on to just say, well, you're a DH, that's that.
Right.
Especially, who knows what the future is for Giancarlo Stanton coming back from injury.
Well, I mean, when Giancarlo Stanton comes back,
to be the DH, okay? And the Yankees have put a lot of eggs in the basket and relying on Dominguez to be in the lineup. And I'm excited for him in the lineup. But here's the other problem, man. What did we argue about ad nauseum for weeks after the World Series, what the Yankees' biggest issue was? Fundamentals.
Yes.
Errors. Right. That fifth inning being thrown back in their face. You have a young player here that has played his whole life in center field. Mm. You don't have a long-term answer right now in center field.
Well, I mean, but Cody is in center field, okay. And you want him to be as comfortable as he can be, because obviously his other possibility is playing first base, but you don't need him at first base. So you don't want to put Cody Bellinger in left field, do you?
Yes, I do.
Why?
If Dominguez is going to be this bad in left, at least
what
I know
makes
this.
You think he's going to be better in center, though?
Well,
because the things that are happening to him, I just watched it. It's not a hard play.
It's not.
I should say this. It probably is for the layman. If I was out there, even though I'm a good athlete, I'd probably look like a fool.
Well, we've seen you in softball make some diving catches.
Yeah.
You don't undersell your outfielder.
Right. But I'd probably look foolish. But for an outfielder, MLB outfielder, they're routine type plays.
I don't deny what you're saying. And that's why it's frustrating. And I know it's a very small sample size. In the 9 games he got before that injury, when they were playing him in center field, there wasn't a big issue with him being in center field.
Mm.
All I'm saying is, with a month to go to opening day, Bellinger is now on his third team, been an excellent player for the Dodgers, played for the Cubs, came here. We know he's versatile enough that he could play first, center. And I don't know this offhand. I'm assuming with the Dodgers, he had to have at times played in the corner outfield. I would have been, there's no way he's never played any left or right. No way.
Right.
How, to me, can I sit here and know that this young player that I know I need in the at-bat, why would I continue to put him in a position in left field where it's very clear he is uncomfortable? I want everything to be as comfortable as possible. Gleyber Torres, when he was a Yankee, was way more comfortable at second base. When they moved him over to short for a year, and I knew he grew up playing short and all of that, he was a disaster, and his bat suffered as well.
Yeah, because he lost his confidence.
He lost his confidence. I don't want Jason Dominguez's confidence because he can't figure out left field being sunk, that he's now a hole in the lineup as well. So, man, you got a month to figure it out. You got knocked out in embarrassing fashion in the World Series, and the big reminiscing memory everybody has that you guys couldn't field the ball. Can we get Jason Dominguez in center? I have more trust that a veteran like Cody Bellinger is not going to make the same mistakes Dominguez is making in left, even if he's not great. And give me Dominguez in his natural position.
Yeah, but I still just wonder, because I wonder if this is expectation and not just not being able to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's starting to feel the pressure of having to be the guy. And
right.
We all know where the deficiencies have been for the Yankees this offseason. And he's being counted upon. And he's being, I don't know if explicitly told, but it's impossible for him not to hear all the noise about what the expectation is for him, what Jason Dominguez's expectation is this year. And it may be affecting him. And so the question really becomes, from a leadership standpoint, this is Boone, I guess this is Aaron Judge as well, just get him to calm down, right? Just get him to, and you have a month to do it.
Yeah, that's
so
the thing.
So there's nothing to like overly panic about, but just play the game like you've been playing it your entire life. Stop thinking about being a Yankee, being one of the stars of the Yankees. Just do what you've always done, and you'll be okay. Somebody needs to tell that to him so he stops. Because I just read his quotes. I'm working my ass off. I'm doing all
that. I'm sure he is.
But sometimes you don't need to even explicitly say that. You just need to do it.
Yeah. And look, if he's hearing or feeling pressure now, like you said, it was a month ago.
Yeah.
Just imagine when there's 48,000 people at Yankee Stadium frustrated because you can't catch a fly ball and the games actually count. We're talking about a game that wasn't even freaking televised in New York today, and Yankee fans are growing frustrated. I mean, this is only going to be a problem. And Aaron Boone's job as the manager, you cannot have fundamentals and everything linger into this year when it ended up being the bad taste in your mouth from last year.
Right. Like drunks.
Like drunks. Right, Connor? Like drunks.
Even though that was on the base pass.
Nonetheless, they're playing the field like drunks. 888-808-1019. What's the matter, Tom?
No, I just, your big idea here is to move Dominguez to a harder position to play. I know it's his natural position.
I want center him fielder to be comfortable.
I know, but center fielder is also harder to play.
Well, clearly,
there's so much more room to cover.
Morash, you're an idiot.
I agree.
Shut
Skip.
Up, Booney.
That's positive Aaron Boone, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I know this doesn't make sense because I am not nearly the athlete Tiki has. Yes, everybody looks at center field and goes, that's a harder position than left. And I understand all of that. But sometimes you're just comfortable what you're comfortable with, right? Like,
Sean.
Yeah.
He can't play the outfield. So he's
got. What's he gonna do?
DH,
how
first
could you
base.
Tell me
he can't play. He can't catch.
He caught those 9 games in center field, no problem for the Yankees when he played there. Those were Major League Baseball games. I know it's 2 years ago. There wasn't a problem. The moment you move him to left field, like they were trying to do last year and this year, he can't catch.
So you think it's a tracking issue or something, or he's just somehow
he's
not
be
comfortable because
like,
he's moved over to left?
Yeah, like the line, the wall. I can't explain it. What goes through somebody's head? Yes, we all grew up playing. It feels like there's more space to cover in center. All of that. His natural athletic instincts We have evidence he's a better center fielder, even if he's not a great center fielder, and he's a left fielder. And we're not in the business of having his team lose games out the gate because you can't field in left field because it's a project.
I think that, you know, playing center field is more about getting to the ball. Playing left field and right field, because of how those, like the tail on the ball, with the way it's hit sometimes, it's hard to pick it up.
Right.
Because you're looking at it at an angle as opposed to coming right at you sometimes. And so you think you're there, but you're not. And so I was just reading some of the comments about from his coaches, and it's like he gets away from his running form, and then he doesn't take the extra step that he needs to take to get to the ball. Like, those things seem natural in center field because of how you have to approach a baseball that's hit to you in center field. I mean, it's usually straight away, right?
Right.
It's driven right back up at you. But if a ball's hit the left or right, it's tailing sometimes or moving away from you or towards you, and so it catches you off guard. And I think it takes some time to get used to, obviously. It's just taking him maybe too much time for the comfort of Yankee fans.
Especially because they need
him. Right, but the Yankees can't do anything about it because what else are they doing? Right, but you're not going to play Trent Grisham over Jason Dominguez.
No.
So what else are you doing?
What I'm suggesting, put him in center. Look, they've had other Aaron Judge went over to center, played center field. Totally.
Yeah, but
fine.
Aaron Judge is an elite athlete. Like we worry about his bat. We talk about his bat a lot, and that's why he wins MVPs. But he is an elite fielder. Like, we know this, and we've seen him in right, we've seen him in center.
I just think when you're looking for A-plus defense out of Bellinger at center and going, well, I might take a little less defense on Bellinger by putting Dominguez in center. I'm just looking to get my players in their most comfortable positions. And when you're a veteran like Bellinger, I trust that, you know what? You'll be able to handle this situation better than Jason Dominguez is.
No, you're right. You're probably right about that.
I need him comfortable.
You're probably right about that. But eventually, he's got to figure out how to be better at that, period.
Man, if they don't have Stanton to start the year and Dominguez, they can't figure this out, and he is fumbling and bumbling the ball over left field. I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to be a pretty start to the Yankee season. I don't.
Hard to imagine Stanton's going to be starting the season.
Well, he's not.
So that's
he's
where he's
not.
So.
I mean, he's nowhere near. But my point is, they're not going to have him.
So then Dominguez is your DH.
Okay, and then the moment Stanton comes back, now you got to go back out there and play
outfield? Well, hold on a second. Wouldn't you rather have Dominguez, let's say there's no Stanton, let's just say for a month. Wouldn't you rather have Dominguez as the DH, and then when Stanton gets back, you figure it out? Meaning, you have him there as a DH, you know he can hit, let him be comfortable there, and then when Stanton comes back, which, by the way, nobody knows really when this guy's coming back, but let's just assume it's May, then you could figure out where Dominguez is going to play in the outfield.
I hear you, Tommy, but I almost feels like then you're stunting the defensive growth for Dominguez, because now we're just putting on pause him getting any reps in the outfield and figuring this out at center or left by just strictly DHing him.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm trying to take the temperature here of a Yankee fan where they're just at the point where they just don't trust Dominguez to be a good outfielder, and they're just tired of it. They just want him to be the DH.
I think that's ridiculous on February
27th. Yeah, but
he can't be the DH. Yeah, he can't.
Well, he can't be it right now, but I'm saying that he could be it. Let me rephrase that. If Stanton comes back, he can't. But if Stanton doesn't, he is the DH. I'm saying DH of the future.
I can't make him the DH of the future. It's his rookie year. He's a natural center fielder. Can we put him in center field and at least see if that fails before we declare him as the DH?
Right. It's hard.
It's so simple. You're overthinking it.
But it's hard because he's. It's not like he's an inferior athlete. He's a good athlete.
Yes.
So it's hard to say at 23. You know what? You're just going to hit for us.
Right. And how many times are the Yankees going to do this? Miguel Andujar.
So why aren't they doing it? Belly said he'd play all across the diamond.
I don't know.
He's played all three outfield positions. He's played first base.
It drives me nuts.
Are they trying to be the smartest people in the room as usual?
Yes, I think they're.
Is this a Cashman thing?
I think it's an overthink. That's it. I think it's a classic overthink.
Well, what does Cody Bellinger want to do, though?
I think Cody Bellinger would be a team guy and go out there and play left. I do.
Probably. But, you know, when he signs, they ask him, look, we're going to potentially use you at first base, or we're going to play in the outfield. Where do you want to play in the outfield? And he says, I'd love to be a center fielder. Don't you have to kind of acquiesce, especially when the alternative is a 23-year-old rookie?
I think if you're Cody Bellinger looking for a longer-term deal from the Yankees, if this over, you're going to go play wherever the hell they want you to
play. He might have just been saying this just to make nice with everybody. When Bellinger met the media, his first press conference or whatever it was, Zoom, he said, I can play anywhere. I'll play wherever. I'm open to playing wherever. So,
right. So
that, we just could go off his word.
That's the case, then you might need to try him in left field.
Then why do they have Dominguez out there, to your point, Sean, stumbling and bumbling, and it could crush his confidence where maybe he could get to the plate where he's not going to hit now because he's worried about catching the ball? I can't make the pitch, Petey.
Because to Evan's point, Bellinger, no matter what, is a better defensive center fielder than whatever Dominguez's ceiling is, but Dominguez is not a sieve in center the way he is in left.
Right.
And sometimes the Yankees make us want to lose our minds. Every once in a while, as today or yesterday, not only did we get the Met news of Sean Manaea and his oblique, and we went over that in the open. You can go back and listen to it on the Rewind feature at 2 a.m. You can go back and listen to my podcast in a little bit to go listen to the take on Manaea. We'll get to it again at 4 o'clock maybe, or in the 4 o'clock hour. But the other news that we got was kind of twofold from Giancarlo Stanton, who obviously is dealing with both of his elbows and tennis elbow. He's already talked about the pain he's in, and he's been shut down from baseball activity. And I believe Sunday we got word that there's no timetable on when he'll even start baseball activities. And then yesterday we heard early in the morning reports by NJ.com that he was going back to New York and he was going to get seen by Dr. Chris Ahmad, the team doctor for the New York Yankees, for a second opinion or to look at the elbow, whatever. But he was going back to New York to visit with the doctor, which is a scary thought. I mean, you know, it's never good. Obviously, he's in pain. It's not getting any better or it's getting worse. And so there's the need to go see the doctor in New York. So that was not a positive sign. And then later in the day, before a game that ultimately got rained out against the Red Sox, Aaron Boone spoke and said that it's a personal matter, that he's going back to New York for a personal matter, and he'll leave it at that. And it leaves us scratching our heads as Yankee fans. And I have no idea what to make of those two stories. And then there's even quotes from Aaron Judge saying that, you know, we'll see what the doctor says. He's in good spirits, Stanton is. And I had dinner with him last night, and he seems okay, but you know, well, I keep checking on him, and we'll find out what the doctor says. So I have no idea. Clearly, he's dealing with an injury. And whether it's personal or not, I mean, that could be construed in a myriad of different ways, because technically, like, I know they're professional athletes, and we, you know, we hear a lot about their injuries and stuff, but technically, even their health is sort of personal. So, like, I have no idea what a personal matter means. To me, it just means Aaron Boone doesn't want to tell us. And I know we get hung up on this and we get mad. When I was talking about this with Fliegelman, he said the Mets used to do this all the time. We get mad about misinformation or whatever, you know, with the Mets. I mean, even last year when Carlos Mendoza told you that they expect, you know, a time frame for Kodai Senga, and then the time frame changes, it's not necessarily lying. It's they're giving you what they think is the best thing to give you. And here's the thing for Yankee fans and all fans that need to understand. It's not the team's responsibility to tell you every single test or thing that's going on with a player. It's not our God-given right to know every single thing about this player's health. Now, I don't like being lied to as much as the next guy doesn't like being lied to. I understand that. But at the same time, whatever they want to tell us, it's when he's on the field and it's the ultimate diagnosis. Whatever's going on with Stanton, we're going to find out. He's not going to be on the field for a while, and eventually we'll find out. I don't need to find out today, and I don't need to be given the exact update of what time the flight lands and when the appointment is and what exactly is going on with Stanton. His elbows are bothering him. He's not doing anything baseball-related. We have no freaking idea. We get so hung up on what Aaron Boone says. We get so hung up on the actual outcome and hanging on every word, and when he's slightly off, we kill him. He said 2 weeks. It's been 3.5. What an embarrassment this team is. Who cares? Injuries are different. Injuries are unique. Injuries change day to day. When he's on the field, he's on the field. Other than that, I don't give a damn. And it's not, I mean, in hockey, we don't even know what's going on with players. They call it upper body issue. Nobody cares. I mean, the guy's shoulder could be hanging off and he's got an upper body issue. Same thing in football. Bill Belichick didn't tell a single truth about a single injury, yet nobody cared. You know why he won Super Bowls? That's all that matters. We get hung up on this stuff. It's stupid. I'm hung up on who's going to be the DH for this team. I'm hung up on who's going to actually take his place in the lineup and on the roster. I'm not hung up on whether or not Aaron Boone is telling us everything there is to know. We'll find out. You know how I know? Because I turn on the Yankee games. When I turn on the game, if Stanton's there, I'll know he's there. If I turn on the game and Stanton's not in the lineup, I know he's not in the lineup. Every single thing between him playing and not playing, I don't need to know. Nor do I expect the team to give me every single bit of truth or every single bit of what's going on. It is what it is, whether he's meeting with the doctor or whether he's handling something personal. And if it's personal, I hope everything's okay. And if it's medical, I hope everything's okay. But we'll find out soon enough. But the problem is, who the hell's going to be the DH? And I don't think it's going to be Dom Smith. And I don't know if it's going to be Bird. And I keep saying Bird every time I want to talk about Ben Rice. Hopefully that's not a portent of things to come. Hopefully that is not a Freudian slip. Because if he's Bird, that's a disaster. All the promise in the world, no fruition. But here's the problem with the New York Yankees. Twofold. Forget what they're telling us now. They've known he hasn't swung a bat in a month. That's the issue. And this could be a long-term thing. He's got severe pain in both of his elbows. I know he dealt with it in the postseason. And then Stanton was asked on why he didn't have surgery in the offseason or why he didn't deal with it in a more aggressive manner in the offseason. And he literally said, I don't know. I don't know. Now, I can tell you why, because surgery is not a guarantee. And with tennis elbow, you figure you could just give it enough time and it'll feel better, and it's not feeling better. So he's probably gone to see the doctor. But the New York Yankees have known for a long time that Giancarlo Stanton isn't going to be in the lineup on opening day. They have known that for a long time. And now it might be coming more crystallized that he might not be here for half the year. And as much as I'll tell you, and I still feel this way, there is no bashing Giancarlo Stanton on this show. I'm done. I won't allow it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about his injury, his constant injuries. We get it. We know it. It's taken for granted. The general manager told us last year it's part of his game. Giancarlo Stanton, when all that matters to Yankee fans is winning a championship, nobody has done more to get that championship over the last 5 years than Giancarlo Stanton. He has been their best player. He's been an absolute force and a stud. He's been not only the Yankees' best player, you could argue, you know, this side of, you know, guys who played longer into the playoffs, like Seager had a great playoff run for Texas. You could argue he's as good a postseason player as there's been in baseball for the last 5 years. I'm done bashing him. I don't want to hear anything about his injury. This is strictly how do the Yankees cope? Because missing a month is easy to cope. And as long as I still believe, as long as he's there for September and October, I'll still believe he'll show. He could show up September 1st. I will have confidence he's going to be a playoff monster. The problem is getting to the playoffs. And with the rest of this roster and the depth of it, which there is none, I still think the roster has a chance to be pretty good. I still think Goldschmidt can have a bounce back year. I still think Jazz full year is going to be a big help to this team. I still think Dominguez is going to be a hitter. Can he catch a ball in left field? We'll find out. But I think Dominguez is going to add a switch hitter with some pop and speed to this lineup. I think Cody Bellinger is going to have a season very similar or better than he had last year with the Cubs. I still think Wells can be a top 10 offensive catcher in the sport. I think the lineup can be better than most people think, but without Giancarlo Stanton, there is no depth. There is no bench, another injury, and this lineup isn't nearly good enough to compete for a championship, to compete for a division title. Really, that's how close it is. That's the fine line the Yankees are riding when it comes to this lineup. And now that they know Stanton is not going to start the year, Stanton will never see April, I doubt he sees May, and there's a chance we don't see him until the All-Star break. The Yankees have to do something. And much like I screamed about money with Steve Cohen, to me, this is about money now. Because there are options out there. And to me, one of the first names we heard is one of the names I'm still focused on. Because I'll tell you this right now. I don't know how the San Diego Padres view it. There's been some talk that obviously he was available at the start of the offseason. And now we're hearing less and less about it, strictly because there wasn't a market for it. And now they're starting to play games. But to me, if I had my choice, one, I still want Arenado for third base because that's part of it. Like, again, no third baseman, no real option for the middle of the lineup if Stanton goes down. You're talking about Rice. You're talking about Grisham. You're talking about Dom Smith. I mean, the actual depth and bench of this team isn't there. And you can't go into a season with no Stanton and no real legitimate option at third base. So I'm still on trading for Nolan Arenado. But if I'm looking for a legitimate bat, because I know Nolan Arenado is trailing and trending in the wrong direction, and as much as I still think he's an improvement to this team, he still hit 270 last year, which I don't think any Yankee option currently would come close to hitting 270. While his power numbers are down, I still think Nolan Arenado is obviously defensively and offensively an upgrade for what they have right now. But if you need a legitimate bat, because now I'm thinking without Stanton, as much as I like Nolan Arenado and I still want that, that's not a legitimately good enough bat to make me feel like I have enough where I'm covering for the depth, I'm covering for third, I'm covering for DH. It's a different kind of bat, but for me, one of the first names we heard this year was Luis Arraez with San Diego, and I was mixed on it because of his defensive ability being non-existent. He is a horrendous. We've had to deal with Gleyber Torres the last couple of years being a bad second baseman. He's Robinson Cano. He is Roberto Alomar compared to Luis Arraez. But if you tell me the DH spot is open, and I'm looking at a full half a year where I can plug Luis Arraez at DH, and I know he's not the typical power-hitting DH, I know he's not someone who's going to hit a ton of home runs, but Luis Arraez is the answer for the leadoff hitter, without question. Now you can put a guy who's going to hit you 320 and have an on-base percentage of 360 bare minimum in front of Judge. He gets on base. He comes up with hits. He puts the ball in play. He's one of the harder, if not the hardest, guy to strike out in Major League Baseball. I have an issue because this team has pivoted to being a defensive team. Right? They didn't go out and get every single home run hitter. They didn't go out and add somebody like Tucker or somebody remotely close to Juan Soto. They went out and added a bunch of different bats, a bunch of different quality bats. None of them great, but most of them good. But they transitioned to being a much better defensive team. I still don't love Luis Arraez as your everyday second baseman and moving Jazz to third. I don't like that option. But if he's available to DH, it's not the power hitter you're usually there for. It's not someone who's going to bat behind Judge and give him a backup or give him protection. But it solves the problem right now of who the hell is hitting leadoff for this team. It gives somebody you know is going to have a 350 to 360 minimum on base percentage in front of Aaron Judge. It lengthens the lineup. It gives you contact at the top. It gives you options where if you put Volpe or Dominguez at the bottom of the lineup and they get on base, now you have a hit-and-run combination in front of Judge. Like, there's a lot of different things that he provides for this team. And I know San Diego has backed off trading him. I think if the Yankees come in hot and heavy on it, there is an option. It's a one-year contract, and Hal, who has been reported to say has no more loot, and this is the main crux of the argument, because I could argue for J.D. Martinez. I could argue for trading for Luis Arraez and taking on his money. I could argue for Nolan Arenado and taking on his money. I could argue for a plethora of different guys. Candelita. Like I could offer a bunch of different options. Luis Arraez makes me the most excited because that's a legitimate bat. That's a batting champion that solves the problem of who the leadoff hitter is. That does a lot for the Yankees without giving them pop, but gives them a lot at the DH spot. But I can argue for a myriad of guys. And I'll take your phone calls at 888-808-1019, and you can give me your options. And all of them are better than the current ones they have, I promise you. But it comes down to the fact of this owner who is talking about having spent, hey, I spent $307 million. Hey, I don't have to spend more than $300 million. Hey, spending more money doesn't correlate to winning championships. All the nonsense he's been giving you. Not only is third base a gaping hole, but now DH is. And if that's a long term, if there is a doctor's appointment from Giancarlo Stanton and the results of said appointment on the way, and we find out we are looking at worst case scenario all year, a mid-case scenario of half the year? Like, if we're looking at a long, long term, no Giancarlo Stanton, this owner has got to pony up and bring in another bat. There's no option. Not if you want to win. Not if a World Series championship and a division title is legitimately what we're going for. You can't tell me Dom Smith, DJ LeMahieu, Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, Ben Rice. Like, these are not the options to get Trent Grisham. These are not the options to give you a lineup. I know the pitching's better. I know the defense is better. And I know the American League is down. But you can't lose Giancarlo Stanton, start with no depth, and start with no third baseman. Those are three things that a New York Yankee team cannot go into the season with. So whether it's solved the third base issue or it's solved the DH issue, one of those things have to have money thrown at it. And this owner just has to pony up and understand there are years that you might be able to stay under $300 million. There are years where you might not have to go this extra mile. This is not one of them. This lineup is too soft, too weak, and this injury could be too devastating to just allow it to go on and see what happens. And hey, we'll attack it at the deadline, when you can't count on the deadline because you have no idea how many teams are going to be interested in players and how many teams are going to be willing to sell players. And I can promise you the interested teams are going to be a hell of a lot more than the selling teams because they've added the playoff spot, and that's how the new format works. Cody Bellinger could have been on this team 2 years ago at the deadline, but the Cubs won 7 out of 8 and decided to chase it. That's how fickle this trade deadline is. And I'm not going into it hoping to solve my problems at the deadline when I'm desperate. Go trade for Nolan Arenado. Go trade for Luis Arraez. Go add a bat one way or another. And do it now. But you know how I feel about Nolan Arenado. What he has left. What are his faults. And ultimately, that he's a better option for the New York Yankees than anybody else they have at third. Like, his season last year, as down as it was for Nolan Arenado, is a far better year, and I've been saying this forever. Last year, if he repeats last year, which is 270, you know, 700 OPS, and plays an excellent defensive third base, that is so far and away better than anything I think they would even come close to getting from the three options they are currently rolling out there at third base. As you know, DJ LeMahieu and Oswaldo Cabrera and Oswald Peraza. None of those three guys are going to come anywhere close to the offensive season that Nolan Arenado gave you last season. And we know how good defensively he is. So I've been clamoring to make that trade for forever. And now that they've lost Giancarlo Stanton, and we still don't know what the personal issue with Giancarlo Stanton is, we still don't know why exactly he's away from the team, we still don't know if he's met with the doctors or what a diagnosis could possibly be. And for that reason, I got to think you have to operate as if Giancarlo Stanton's not a member of this team. And so I desperately think the Yankees need a bat. That's not to say they can't still be a good team or address it later, or I don't think this pitching in this lineup is still good enough to be the best team in the American League or certainly one of the best teams. I still do. But I'm trying to win a World Series. I'm trying to make them the best as they possibly can be, and they got two holes in the lineup. They need to add to it. And Nolan Arenado is someone who clearly is out there on the trading block and today or earlier yesterday took a 3-hour bus ride as a veteran to come visit the New York Yankees and hit cleanup against the New York Yankees. Now, you know, a lot was made on it. I woke up to that news that he made the 3-hour bus ride and how unique that is, and veteran players don't typically make it. You know, some Yankees, you would never, you know, Aaron Judge, for the most part, isn't going to go travel 3 hours to go play the Cardinals. Like, it doesn't happen to take a 3-hour bus ride. So obviously the discussion is, well, he's trying to showcase himself. He's trying this, he's trying that. And I thought the same thing that Nolan Arenado said after the game. This is like the third spring training game. Like, you think Nolan Arenado really wants to, like, come, like, this isn't the and he was blown away by fastballs. And he looked bad. I'll be telling you, he looked bad. Will Warren, who's been the talk of camp, who, you know, makes Marcus Stroman even more a possibility to move and less likely to be needed, as Will Warren, who did not do much last year, but looks completely different. Now, again, it's spring training and it's two starts, but and he's had his good stuff, but like his changeup looks dramatically better. His slider looks dramatically better. And his overall posture and you know, body language looks completely different. Now, again, it's spring training and it's not a major league game. And he's pitching against a lot of players who won't make the team for the most part, especially on a, you know, a home game against a traveling St. Louis team. But he blew Nolan Arenado away. And then I think Nolan Arenado swung through a 1-2 95 mile an hour fastball late in the game. But I don't think Nolan Arenado came here the third game of spring training saying, I'll show the Yankees why they need me. Forget the Hall of Fame career I've had my entire life and been one of the best baseball players in the world for, you know, a decade now. Forget that. I need to show the Yankees I can hit the third game of the spring training. Like, I don't think that's what's, I don't think it was necessarily a showcase. This is what I think it was. And I have no reason to believe this other than, to me, it's common sense. And he tells you it's to go see his good buddy, Goldschmidt, and he talked up Goldschmidt, and he thinks Goldschmidt could have a good year. This was just to say, hey, I'm willing to come here. I want to come here. I want to be a Yankee. Like, that's how I viewed it. Hey, I'm not going to go there and feel like if I hit two doubles in the gap and a home run, they're going to be like, wow, I can't pass up on Nolan Arenado. It's more of just making the trip, making the effort, showing up at camp, talking to some Yankee players, talking to Paul Goldschmidt, being around the team, and having the news out there that a veteran player made a three-hour bus ride. I don't think it's about playing or letting them take a look at him, because that's ridiculous. They know who Nolan Arenado is. They know who he is. And right now, it sounds like there's not a lot of enthusiasm with the New York Yankees to bring him on board. So that and the fact he made the trip makes people think, well, he wants to show them that he's better than they think. I don't think that's what it was. It was just a mere, this is a guy who wants to get traded off a losing team. The Cardinals are going nowhere. They're rebuilding. He doesn't want to stay. He lost his buddy to the Yankees. And he doesn't want to stick around with a losing Cardinals team for a guy who's been through a whole lot of losing in his career with Colorado Rockies, and he's hoping to chase a winner. So he was like, you know what? I'll get on the bus. I'll show them my intention. I'll show them my willingness to come here. I'll just make a story out of it. I'll get people talking about it, and I'll show up. And I think that's a good sign. And I think that's, you know, an indication that he wants to be a Yankee. That's how I took it. He wants to be a Yankee. Not that he wants to prove himself or anything other than just, hey, I'll show some good faith here. We're trying, you know, we all understand that my name is on the trading block. Yankees are a team that could use a third baseman. There's a lot of, you know, stories about me and the Yankees and making that trade. So I'll just go there and make a little bit of news out of it. Like, I think that was probably it. And maybe to see his buddy a little bit, but I think it was more of just to say, hey, Yankees, how are you? And talk to a couple guys. Like, I don't think it's much more than that, if it's even that. I think it's mostly a non-issue. But it doesn't change the fact that they should absolutely go trade for him. Like, I don't know what the options are. I've talked about Luis Arraez. I don't know if he's on the market anymore, but that's someone, especially without a DH, that I would go target because I don't have to play him in the field. But ultimately, it feels like the Yankees aren't going to do anything. And that's disappointing. And I think Hal needs to be better. But that doesn't change the fact, like, because I've gotten a lot of pushback on Twitter. How can you say that the Yankees don't have a third baseman, the Yankees don't have a DH, and they don't have a prototypical leadoff hitter that you feel comfortable with, and still call them the best team in the American League? I don't know. Because their pitching is excellent. Like, I understand that they have lost in the postseason because of offense. And I understand that I will freely tell you that I'd rather have the great position player than the great pitcher, and the guy who plays 162 is more valuable over the course of 162. But that doesn't change the fact that pitching is half the game. They have a top closer. They have a top rotation. They've done better with the bullpen than almost any team in the sport. Weaver's a great eighth-inning guy with the ability to pitch multiple innings. Hamilton's been good. They brought in a pitcher that led the league in strikeouts per nine last year, whose ERA is 5, but I do believe, I know we talk so much about the lab that the Mets have, Matt Blake is one of the best pitching coaches in baseball, bar none. And sinker, slider, split, splitter-type pitchers are very successful, and I think that's a guy, Cruz, that they're targeting to really make into a top reliever. Like, I think their pitching is excellent, and I still believe that they have the best hitter in the world who doesn't need all this protection. Who's going to protect Judge? Who's going to protect Judge? He's going to be walked 100 million times. All right, yes, that he had Juan Soto in front of him last year. Who was hitting cleanup exactly? And he walked a ton, and he also had the best season of right-handed hitters ever had. Who was his protection in 22 when he hit 62 home runs? Giancarlo Stanton for half the year? Like, the idea that Aaron Judge won't be successful this year, it's the same dopes who tell you the same thing that, you know, Nolan, that Juan Soto doesn't have enough protections to be good. Great players are going to be great. Judge is going to have a monster year because that's what Judge does. Will he walk more? Maybe. Will he drive in less runs without Juan Soto hitting in front of him? Yeah, probably. Is he going to be an absolute threat and a beast? You bet your ass he is. So they have the best hitter in the world. I still think Bellinger's going to give you a good year, full year of Jazz, a full year of Wells, who didn't want to play until March in these spring training games, but insisted being in there to catch Will Warren, who he said is going to be an important part of this team. And he gives you his first two swings, he hits the ball over 325 feet to the left center field gap, and one bounces off the wall. So I think Wells has got a chance to be good, and he's found something that he could have a full year of being one of the better offensive catchers in the sport. You got Jazz for a full year. Hopefully you've got Volpe and Dominguez making impacts. Bellinger's a good player. I think you're going to get a bounce back year from Goldschmidt. Does all that lead up to being as good as last year's offense with Judge and Soto? No, it doesn't. But the pitching staff is far better. The bullpen's far better. And the lineup is still going to be, when you look around the American League, tell me how many lineups are better. So, yes, they have some holes. Yes, I think the owner should absolutely go out there and fill them. Get a third baseman. Pay a little bit of money. You're over the luxury tax already. You're not getting underneath it. Go pay. Go bring another batter in here. You need it. Not to be the best team in the American League necessarily. Maybe, though. But not because I think they can't win without a bat, but because this is about being, without doubt, the best team in the American League. And this is about getting back to the World Series. And this is about winning a World Series. And this is about a flawed trade deadline since the new playoff format. So both can be true. I think the Yankees should go out and get a bat. I also think the Yankees, top to bottom, are the best team in the American League and should still win their division. I don't know why everybody has a tough time understanding that. But go get a bat. And the owner makes enough money, despite the fact that he's got the bill for the lease of the building, and he's in the process of buying back part of the Yes Network, and, you know, he's got siblings to split up the money. I get all that. I get that he's not making the money the Dodgers are making. That shouldn't be the difference between $10 to $12 million for a third baseman. When you're already over the luxury tax and all of the penalties as far as draft picks and compensation and you know, the ability to you know, have spending money in foreign markets. What's the name of the stupid money? Like, there's a bunch of ramifications. Multiple picks, free agents leave, you get hit with more picks if you give them the qualifying offer. Like, there's all those ramifications of being over the last luxury tax. You're already there paying all those ramifications. Are you telling me the difference of $20 million on this payroll is why you can't get a third baseman? So, yeah, I'm going to get on the owner. And I think they should make an impact move. Doesn't change the fact that I still think they're pretty damn good.